Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Here's the thing. Urban Meyer is going to succeed, and it's pretty easy why he's going to succeed in Jacksonville, because the most important thing you can do is put yourself in a position to succeed, and that's what Urban Meyer has done, right? Now, just real quick, just to let you know, we talked about this on the 5th of January, so we could have got better odds, because if they move that way on the 6th, we actually talked about it on the 5th.
Well, that's why it moved.
We could have got a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Absolutely.
We moved it, buddy.
You heard it here the night before. That's the way it always works.
Yep.
So make sure you get your hot takes the night before they're stale and coming out the next day. Come on now.
But the most important thing is being put in a position to succeed, right? Whatever you do for a living, you want to go in knowing, okay, I can achieve here. I can do things. I don't want to be brought into a job where I'm going to have one hand tied behind my back and I'm not going to succeed. All job openings are not created equal. And the Jaguars clearly had the best, not just because it comes along with Trevor Lawrence. So that is a huge part of it. It's also, you have some pretty good young talent already on offense there. Robinson had a heck of a year this year. DJ Chark is pretty good. You have some pretty good players on defense already. Miles Jack, you know, it's not, this is not a, hey, bottom of the barrel, you have no talent on this team like the Jets are. This is, well, bottom of the barrel because we trotted out Mike Glennon and some other dudes for a while to try to win some games. No, they have talent on this team. And more importantly, they have the most money in the NFL to spend in free agency. The Jets have the second most. The Jaguars have the most. These two teams have more than everybody by a lot. But here's a job in Jacksonville that comes with Trevor Lawrence. Already you have talent on both sides of the ball. You have money to spend in free agency. You are in a position to succeed. This is why Jaguars is the job. This is why Urban Meyer said, okay, everybody else backed off. Jaguars didn't talk to anybody else. It was Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer. Urban's our guy. Urban's our guy. This was the job. He will succeed because he's in a position to do it. And you know what? He's smart. He's not coming in here like it's going to be Nick Saban and where I know everything. Nick Saban came into Miami, thought he had all the answers. He didn't, and he walked away and walked back to the college game and became the greatest college coach of all time. Urban Meyer knows, okay, I've worked in the media the last couple of years. I know how things work. I have a really good understanding of the pro game. You know, I always had a great understanding of the college game, but I still know the players. I understand the media. I understand the locker rooms. I get every aspect of the NFL. So I'm going to hire a whiz kid offensive coordinator. I'm going to hire a really good, well-respected defensive coordinator. I'm not going to come in here and try to do it all by myself because Urban Meyer is not that kind of guy. He's someone that I'm going to come in. He's going to have a short period of time to do it because he doesn't stay places very long. He's got health issues. If he stays for 4 years or the entirety of Trevor Lawrence's rookie contract, I would be surprised. But this is Urban Meyer. He's going to succeed because he knows he's seen it done before, how people jump to the NFL and don't do it. He's got everything to succeed. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence, and I'll tell you, Mike Harmon, in 4 years, the Jaguars are going to be in a Super Bowl. In 4 years, the Jags are going to be in a Super Bowl.
Putting them back. Yeah, remember, it wasn't too long ago. They were in an AFC title game. And then I think Shad Khan decided he wanted to pick the groceries and get the credit like he was Jerry Jones. You know who was doing it all the time? Me. So when we talked about this back on January 5th, that was the big question because Shad Khan had been talking about, well, you know, I had a lot to do with what the roster looks like. Like, all right, you got some pretty big wins there. You mentioned Robinson, an undrafted guy. Had a hell of a year, over 1,000 yards, led a lot of people to fantasy titles, so good on him. DJ Chark, you mentioned. You got Chenault Jr., who looks like he could be a player. Keelan Cole, they'll have to decide whether they want him back or not. Defensively, you also missed the other Josh Allen. 10-sack guy as a rookie in 2019, had some injury issues this year, but he's one of your best young defensive linemen out there. So at 56 years old, that's the only question to me. Right? Because the age-wise, look, he's 13 years younger than Pete Carroll. Bill Belichick will turn 69 in April. So when we're talking about where you're at, has the game passed you by? No. He's around the game. He's been around the game. Now it's just the jump to the NFL, and you don't have to do the recruiting. Although, in this case, with $100 million to spend, as long as you get Shad Khan and maybe he put it in writing to stay away, you can do the recruiting on the free agent trail. Come to Florida, and look, you'll save money. Here's the tax guy that'll tell you all about it. We're on the come. We can make this work. So you got six picks in the top 65 to go with your $100 million, including that number one overall pick. So you get your quarterback. You've already got a running back that you're paying nothing for the next several years. A couple of solid wide receivers. You'll need to go find a tight end because, you know, they're always the young quarterback's best friends. My only reservation with Urban Meyer is how long does he really want to stay? Is 4 years too long? Right? Because building blocks, will he stay there for the duration? I mean, he's already left three different times citing health issues.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is something where do I see him coaching past 5 years? No. If he wins the Super Bowl, can he walk away? Sure. You know, and he'd be leaving a team that's ready made with Trevor Lawrence, and you can win and win again. And look, Jacksonville is in the position to be the new Green Bay Packers, right? You know, when we looked at the Packers, and you think about the Packers, boy, they have this. Tradition of Favre to Aaron Rodgers. They're always good. They win a Super Bowl every couple of years. You know, I'm old enough to remember when, boy, the Packers were just a vast wasteland for about 20 years. You know, they were great in the beginning for the NFL, and then, oh boy, were they bad. They had a couple of playoff years in the 80s, and then it was nothing. And then finally, Favre comes around in the mid-90s, and the Packers, small town, but they're able to get enough free agents to go play there to want to win because you have great quarterback after great quarterback. Okay, we go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and Green Bay has been the small market team that could the past 25 years. The Jaguars are in the position to do exactly that right now, with Trevor Lawrence in there for the next 10 to 12 years, most likely, as long as he is what everybody says he is. They're going to be the team, hey, you know what, I don't have to go freeze my ass off in Green Bay to go play with Aaron Rodgers. I can go be in the sun, and I can hang out with Tebow in the offseason. Things are going to be great. Jacksonville is in position to be the next Green Bay Packers, where they can have a 10 to 12 to 15 year run of being, hey, they're the next great small market team that we can just see doing it, because it all comes down to having a great quarterback. And here's Urban Meyer in on the ground floor of this, and I can easily see him going, hey, I'll coach for the first 5 years or so, win, and then I'm going to move on. And whether it's health, whether it's something else, he decides I'm done. I've achieved what I wanted to do. I've won national championships everywhere I've gone. I've won the Super Bowl now. I'm kind of done walking away in my early to mid-60s. Yeah, I can see him doing that. But the Jaguars, they'll just continue. Because, again, Trevor Lawrence, and again, all the young talent, and again, all the drawing cards, they are where you're going to get free agents to go there continually to go play with Lawrence and get chances to win and enjoy that Florida sunshine. I mean it. The Jaguars are the new Packers.
Yeah, I mean, you will have the opportunity to bring a Super Bowl title, another one, to Fox here in Jacksonville if this goes right, with all those draft picks, obviously, around the college game. So advantage Urban Meyer when it comes to this cycle of reviewing and getting ready for the draft, right? Because they're saying there may not be a combine. They're saying that we're still not going to have anywhere near the normal off-season schedule in terms of being able to evaluate players, right? Just like we're doing these coaching carousel by Zoom and interviewing everybody under the sun, that's how you're going to be evaluating talent. How many Zoom calls do we get to make to prospective players? Right, because you normally had to put in for the 15 minutes in person. Do you get more because it's on a Zoom line instead of their actual time? And you're coming into the division at a good time, too, right? Houston's a mess because, well, the starting quarterback wants out. Tennessee, right now, they're set up nicely, but those guys are all going to want to get paid. And I have to believe that Derrick Henry proves to be human at some point. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe he's a cyborg. I'm not sure.
He could be.
Then obviously the Colts are trying to figure out what the quarterback position looks like this coming year as well. So you've got turnover. You've got opportunity. The one thing I will, you know, get the bone to pick with you when you trot out Nick Saban's name for the fact that it was his medical staff that screwed him. And I will go down swinging with this time and time again. They saddled him with Culpepper. Okay, if he'd gotten Breeze, we might have had a whole other college football universe. This is like the time heist in the Avengers, man. We would have been seeing all sorts of other crap going on had they not decided Drew Breeze couldn't throw a football. Instead, he ends up in New Orleans and we have this whole other run. But say Miami might have been ruling the East this whole time. Belichick might have never happened. Look at that. I just wiped out the last 20 years of the National Football League.
Yeah, but that doesn't help me at all because the Dolphins are still in my division. It's just instead of one team beating the crap out of us, I have another team beating the crap out of us.
Okay, that's fine. And maybe they're both good. You have to hate them both.
Oh, man. But look, this is what it means when you can grab a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, as long as he is what they say he is. And if he's Andrew Luck, hey, that's exactly how it's going to go for Jacksonville. All right, this is why it was so important to continue to lose to get that first overall draft pick. I was moving past it as a Jet fan. I'm like, okay, I'm moving past Trevor Lawrence, and now seeing today and seeing how this is going to go, and immediately Urban Meyer said wonderful things about Trevor Lawrence. He understands the young players coming into the NFL. Now I'm depressed again because I go, boy, the Jets really just completely blew their shot. They completely, because now Jacksonville's going to wind up winning a Super Bowl in the next couple of years, and they're going to be the Packers with that sustained, excellent small market over a long period of time. Now I'm depressed again.
I think I'm going to pull out my original Jaguars hat that I have.
Oh.
And start rocking that all over. Look, I still think he leaves before they get to the finish line. I think there's hiccups, and then that Super Bowl doesn't come with him at the helm. But we shall see. That's the beauty of the NFL offseason and why they play the games. This is going to be fun.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. So we'll have more on this story. We're going to go out to Jacksonville coming up in about an hour or so and talk to a couple of insiders who spoke to Urban Meyer today. What's he doing? What's he thinking about his quarterback position? Hey, Justin Fields is your guy. You might want to take him at number one. You might want to take Justin Fields at number one. We'll see if we can convince Jaguars insider to take that message to Urban Meyer. But coming up next, hey, today, believe it or not, was another incredible day revolving around Kyrie Irving. He's either on his way back to the Nets, happy with James Harden, or he's going to sit out the season. So this is what we're breaking down. Kyrie Irving coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, I got to take everything bad I ever said back about Jimmy Garoppolo because he may be the Jets' new quarterback.
Look at you. See how it turns?
I love Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's the greatest.
The best. Jimmy! Breaking news right now. Hey, it's not just Urban Meyer, who is a new head coach in the National Football League with the Jacksonville Jaguars. David Gascon is going to tell us that the New York Jets have found their guy, DG.
Yeah, San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh is making his way from the West Coast to the East Coast. He's agreed on a 5-year deal with the New York Jets. And Jason, as you know, they're second in line behind Jacksonville in terms of draft picks here in 2021. So Robert Saleh, the new head coach.
Draft picks?
Damn it.
We got
money. I have to like the Jets now.
Now you got him.
Because I like this guy. I've been cheering. Like, I was hoping they'd throw Nagy out of Chicago and hire him. Are you kidding me?
Look, and I'm getting news now in here that the NFL is going to change the game next year to the games will be decided by head coaches fighting at midfield. So now the Jets are going to go 16-0, and we're going to beat teams like Alabama. I'll take Robert Saleh in any brawl over any head coach. Thanks a bunch, DG. Joining us now on the hotline. Perfect timing. Two huge moves in the NFL today. NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire Jay Glazer. And Jay, I'll tell you what, whether or not you have or not, I would tell everybody that you trained Robert Saleh at Unbreakable. I mean,
no,
I would just say
one guy. I've not trained there. No, one guy. One
really?
Guy. I haven't trained him. Nope. But I do think that is a listen. He was kind of the crown jewel of this year's, you know, coaching derby, if you will, him and Arthur Smith. And for the Jets to come away with that, listen, New York's a different place, all right? And Ernie Accorsi, the old GM of the Giants, told me this. Said, when you're in New York, everybody competes against the Yankees. And the Jets, well, Ernie didn't say this part, but the Jets, they got to compete against the Giants and the Yankees and the Knicks and the Rangers. And the Jets have always kind of been second-class citizens there. And for them to come out of this with the crown jewel, if you will, of the coaching candidates is a huge coup there for Joe Douglas. Huge coup. Because it's you know, it hasn't been a very desirable place. And I've always said to you guys, look, it's a culture thing. It starts at the top. It starts with ownership. They got to make a lot of changes there. And if they let if Woody and Chris Johnson just let Robert Sala and Joe Douglas reshape that place, they have a chance. They really have a bona fide chance with their quarterback and Sam Darnold, or to trade Sam possibly, or trade that number two pick. Because you have Sam Darnold left, they could do some creative things, but you got to change the culture. And I've been around it, man. I've been around it with Sean Payton since day one when he went down to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And Mr. Benson was regarded back then as one of the worst owners in the league, and fans were wearing bags on their heads. And Sean did it's so much more than just hiring a head coach and a GM. You got to change the culture. It's everything. It's people who are used to losing ways. You got to get them out. You got to make people uncomfortable there. You really have to have a lot of uncomfortable conversations. You got to put people in uncomfortable positions that have done things the same way, because the same way they've done it over and over and over has been a losing way. It's been a dark way. But if you want to go through the dark to the light, make people uncomfortable. Get people out who want to do it the same way, and get people in who see your vision.
You know, I hope so, Jay, because, you know, this is now the fourth time that, you know, since we've been doing hits together for the past, this is the fourth time you've been on telling me about a new Jets head coach. Hopefully they're going to get it right this time.
You know what? I've said the exact same thing to you these last four times. Yeah. Every single time I say, guys, there's a culture problem there, right?
Yep.
They have it. The Lions have it. Whoever has lost over and over and over and over and over, there's a culture issue. Sean Payton changed the culture there, right? The Steelers have a culture of winning. They win. People in there expect to win. They expect to go to work every day to win, right? There's ways to do it. There's losing ways and there's winning ways and there's culture. And, man, so many times you hear people that they, you know, like a team is willing to say, oh, we're going to overhaul this place, but we're going to keep half the people in here. No. Don't keep anybody with the same toxic losing mindset. Absolutely not. Like, hey, man, when I train fighters, okay, I tell them what I want them to do, not what I don't want them to do. And if anybody comes in there and tells these guys, hey, don't do this, get out of my gym, that's not our culture. I'm going to tell these guys what I want them to do, okay? I want our guys to never show that they're tired. Don't put our hands on their – man, we had a fighter in there one day named Bamba, okay? Bamba put his hand on his hip. I said, Bamba, take your hands off your hips, man. We don't show we're tired here. We don't ever show we're tired here. Don't show you're tired. Don't show you're hurt. And he's like, oh, I'm tired, bro. No, you're not. We don't show – I'm tired. And Chuck Liddell came flying in and dumped this dude – like, you can't imagine. If he says we're not tired, we're not tired. This is our mindset. And if you didn't understand what that unbreakable mindset was, everybody else there had to get out. And that's the same thing for the Jets. It's the same thing for the Lions. Same thing for anybody else. If you don't understand what the new winning mindset is, you got to get out.
Man, I got to get me a Chuck Liddell enforcer behind me when I'm trying to tell my kids stuff, man.
This dude, I'll tell you. Hey, this poor bastard said the wrong thing at the wrong time and then talked back about it. And, yeah. And meanwhile, man, we got this guy like 190 grand from Bellator to be a fighter, and he had a loser mentality. And I love the guy as a person, but we had to get him out because he just didn't fit what we preach, what we coach. We teach in there. It's a mindset. Man, I have a certain mindset on unbreakable. Doesn't mean that it's right for every other gym or every other team, but it's right for my team. It's right for my gym. Okay? So, like our gym, we have no mirrors in our gym. We're probably the only gym in America to have no mirrors. You know why? Because I don't want anybody else's back turned to the rest of the team looking at themselves.
Okay, so that's my gym. Now, every other gym may say, well, man, we want mirrors up there because we want to show everybody what their gains are. That's fine. That's your place. That's your vision. This is my vision, right? So if you want – so obviously whatever the vision has been for these losing teams, okay, Washington over and over and over until they finally surrendered. They surrendered it to Ron Rivera. What's it going to take to win? We need to change our culture. In front of Jason right at the top there, Ron Rivera, they've surrendered. Hey, man, we've done it wrong. Dan Snyder thought he had all the answers. He had no answers for all those years. He had it wrong all those years. The first thing he got right was to surrender and bring people in that are going to change his culture. And I obviously, you guys hear me. I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about culture because I know what I want in my place, what my culture is. I'll be damned if somebody else is going to tell me what my culture is. I know my culture wins, and I know what a losing culture is, right? A losing culture is people who show it. People who, man, they want to be famous instead of being great. People who show they don't want to put the work in, and they complain about everybody else. The same thing over and over and over. Man, it's a revolving cycle. I don't want that in my place. And all these other owners need to look at that and say, if we've lost over and over and over, we're the issue. We need to change it. The Jets, I hope they can get out of their own way because they got two guys who could do what Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis did with the Saints, and they reset that entire culture there. And now the Saints ownership is viewed as one of the best owners in the league, right? They're one of the best owners in the league. Guys, it wasn't that long ago. They were viewed as the worst owners. It wasn't that long ago. There are people wearing bags on their heads in the stands. It's a culture issue.
It's our guy Jay Glazer, and you hear him, the passion in his voice. Fox NFL Sunday Broadcasting Hall of Fame there. Founder of MVP. You've got Merging Vets and Players, the Unbreakable Performance Center. Check that out. And, of course, vetsandplayers.org, at Jay Glazer, where you find him on Twitter. All the passion, all the energy, all the things he's doing. He's at GNC, too, getting you fueled up before and after your workouts while you're running.
I'm just hyped up because I got my pre-workout drink going on right now. And, listen. Listen, guys, the reason why I get this passionate is because every single person has greatness behind their ribcage. And there too many grow up being told they don't, or there's other circumstances, they go through trauma, or they're coached not to, or whatever. Like, we all have it. So, yeah, I get passionate because I've seen people make amazing turnarounds. I've seen people change. Like, when they come into our gym, I tell them, listen, man, it's going to be the hardest stuff you've ever done in your life. But if you follow us, we will change your grandkids' lives.
Boom.
Right? We will change your grandkids' lives. First thing, Lane Johnson walked through our gym. Fourth-round pick. I had no idea what he's doing. Bro, you follow us, we will change. We will turn you into a gangster, and we'll change your grandkids' lives. They will never, ever have to want for anything ever again. Your grandkids. Because you are going to be, your level is going to be so much different than anybody else out there as far as your body language, as far as your violence out there, as far as how much you want to be great, as far as the violence you bring to everybody else, how much you play through pain, what an honor it's going to be to play this game and to be great. And, man, that was the year Lane went from kind of a scraggler to an $85 million contract extension. Like, he had no idea what he was doing. We all have it in us. Everybody has it in us.
Now the Jaguars are handing the keys to the car to Urban Meyer. Does Shad Khan get out of the way and let him build and change that culture?
Yes. That's the only reason, the only way Urban would do it. And I've talked to Urban today also. Urban's obviously one of our teammates at Fox. Mm-hmm. The only way he's going to do it. And look, I do know Shad and Tony Khan, they do want to win. And I think a lot of it, and Urban's one of these guys, Urban cares more about winning than money. So I think Urban would just want to make sure that he was able to change the culture in there and upgrade that place. And look, guys, I keep going back to the Saints because I've been with Sean Payton with this since day one. And every single year I go back there. And, you know, we coach them for 6 weeks at their facility in MMA. But you guys know my relationship with Sean. And I'm always there. And he's always every year I come in, every freaking 3 months I'm there. He's like, let me show you we upgraded here. We got the latest and greatest here. Let me show you this. So we were the first gym of the cryo chamber. And the Eagles and the Saints were the first ones like, what is this, a cryo chamber? We got to get two. Bam. You know, and then Sean's like, hey, we just heard about this from the All Blacks in New Zealand. What do you think about this? Yeah, Sean, I heard it's great. We don't have the money for something like that. Boom, we're going to bring in three of them. Like, it's just, how can we upgrade this place? How could, guys, it's every little tiny detail. And I do believe that the Cons are going to give Urban Meyer every shot of that.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox Insider. Check out the link there as well. One glass.
Oh, you'll let me coach tonight. I like it. I got coach tonight.
I love it. I know. You like it, right? It's a little bit different tonight.
Hey, but if you could have been on the receiving end of that Chuck Liddell tongue lashing, you guys would have definitely wet yourself.
Life-changing moments. We'll have to make sure we keep a 24-hour camera to capture the next one.
Chuck clicked over, and needless to say, we kind of kicked the guy off our team, and I love the guy as a person, but we never heard from him again.
Great stuff, buddy. As always, Jay, you're the man, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Enjoy the game, buddy.
Oh, great stuff.
Oh, that was
Jay.
So
that,
good.
That Chuck Liddell story was so good.
Think about that.
I mean,
you're yelling at a guy, he mouths off, and then out of the shadows, Chuck Liddell comes running at you.
Oh, no, I don't get angry. When I get angry, he gets mad. You know, it's one of those things. Oh, you think I'm going to yell at you? No. And you snap your fingers, and suddenly here comes somebody even bigger flying out of there. Oh, what? And I'm fired up already with the Robert Saleh news. I mean, seriously, this is Jay's right. It's exactly what the Jets need. Who's going to come in and change this losing culture that they've had now for the better part of a decade? Rex Ryan was the last guy. What did he do? He came in and grabbed the team by the lapels and said, forget about this same old Jets crap. No, I'm in here to win. I give a crap about you and you and you. And Rex was a victim of his own success, because when your first 2 years you go to the AFC Championship game, you know, how are you going to sustain that when you haven't really met with any kind of adversity at all? And Rex kind of let things spiral out of control. He wasn't good at making personnel decisions. So this team that was loaded with talent when he came in, by the time he was fired, everybody was gone because the Jets drafted so poorly. Now, this is going to be new things for Robert Saleh to figure out, and the same thing for Joe Douglas. But Robert Saleh is one of those, I will grab the team by the lapels and say, you're going to do this, we're going to do this my way. The players love him. All the 49ers love him. It's a complete opposite of how I felt 2 years ago when they hired Adam Gase. They hired the right guy. They made the right move. I mean, who are these Jets? Who are these Jets to make the right move and strong? And now they have a GM head coach situation in place that seems normal. It's not, we're hiring the head coach, then we're hiring the GM, and then we're going to fire one of them. I mean, really, it's really 2021 has shown up, and Francisco Lindor is going to be with the Mets, and now the Jets get the number one head coach that everybody wanted on the market. I mean, this is a whole new world, Mike Carmen. I don't know how to deal with success. I've never really had to.
Yeah, we're going to have to really try to monitor you and make sure you're all right. I was thinking of getting a little heart monitor that we could hook up there, maybe a blood pressure monitor. Because, look, you just got a TED Talk for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I mean, that's something that you would go to the local Hyatt Regency or Ramada or whatever, and Jay Glazer would come in like a house of fire, give that speech, and go running off. That's what you got just now here on Fox Sports Radio. That was fantastic from pillar to post about culture and coaching and finding the best in folks and bringing it out of them. And now you've got the Jets and Mets that I've got to listen to you. And if the Knicks don't trade Julius Randle, he's one of those top five guys because his contract is cheap, that, you know, you might be talking about the Knicks a little more. So this is just crazy times in our sporting universe.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Robert Saleh Studios. Coming up next, now that Robert Saleh is the Jets head coach, what's going to happen next? How are the dominoes going to fall? And seriously, could a change at quarterback for the Jets be imminent because of what they just did? All that and more coming up next, following all this big breaking news right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The big news in the last half hour, look, the number one trending topic in the world right now, Saleh, Robert Saleh, former 49ers defensive coordinator. Niners have had one of the best defenses in the NFL the past few years. He was the hot head coaching candidate. He and Arthur Smith, Titans OC. The Jets hire him as their head coach. We talked to Jay Glazer about that. But a couple of other things, dominoes are falling, and now the quarterback situation may end up changing. Saleh doing a really smart thing, because what he's doing, bringing with him as his offensive coordinator, is Mike LaFleur, who was the passing game coordinator for the 49ers the past couple of years. So here's a promotion for LaFleur. I'm going to bring in the same kind of offense. You know what the Jets are going to run. And Saleh doing a really smart thing. This works. I'm bringing some of my culture here. This is awesome. Now, who's been the 49ers quarterback the last couple of years? Jimmy Garoppolo. Are the Niners ready to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo? They kind of are. I'll tell you what, I put it really down near zero before, but if Sam Darnold isn't the quarterback of the Jets next year, right, the guy I expect now to be there would be Jimmy Garoppolo. Because you're talking about a situation where you can take your culture of offense and obviously the overall culture, but you're taking an offense that, all right, I know who I want to run it. Jimmy Garoppolo ran it pretty well. Jets have to make sure they get really good players. And look, I've never been that high on Jimmy Garoppolo, but could he be a Baker Mayfield type where he can be the head of a snake and once in a while throw for 350? Sure, he could do that. And boy, it'd be great to see him back in the AFC East where Bill Belichick can get to play him against twice a year. So this is something that, even though nothing has been said about it, if you want to connect the dots and play that way, I would say if it's not Sam Darnold, fill in the blank, Jimmy Garoppolo is playing quarterback for the Jets next season.
I think that certainly could be a potential move. We know that Garoppolo is contract, and what they've gotten out of him thus far, plus the injuries, is it time to move on, right? He's been linked a little bit to the planet Houston. In terms of Deshaun Watson, right? Because you look at salaries, you look at where they're at in their careers, and San Francisco still has a lot of strong component parts. I mean, they put up a fight this year partially because of what Saleh and that defense were able to do, even with all of the injuries they sustained over the course of the year. I mean, you had guys going in and out of that lineup all the time. I mean, that's why he became the hot commodity in the coaching circuit. For those that missed and weren't paying attention to the 49ers the second half of the season, that's your synopsis. They kept playing, kind of like Flores' squad did for him down in Miami a year ago when talent-wise they were outmatched on paper. Game after game. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past it. I mean, Jets or down to Houston or back to New England. Those would be the three on my medal stand of where Jimmy Garoppolo ends up. But I don't think he's in San Francisco any longer.
Yeah, it seems like the Niners, look, they got to the Super Bowl and they realized, all right, this mix was great. We got to the top of the mountain. It's not something that we can keep this window open. And Garoppolo, clearly, look, I'm not saying Garoppolo's a world beater. He's not what the Niners thought he was going to be when they got him from the Patriots. You know, they fell in love with that first five-game stretch where, look at Jimmy, he's throwing for 300 yards and beating teams that don't care because they've clinched playoff spots. Oh, Garoppolo's going to be great. And what you found out is, okay, maybe he's more of the elite game manager where once every few weeks, hey, he can throw for 350 and four touchdowns. And you're seeing teams realize that about their quarterbacks. Look, the Rams have realized that about Jared Goff. The Browns realize that about Baker Mayfield. Look, the Bills don't have to because Josh Allen is a breakthrough, break-the-ceiling kind of guy. But those quarterbacks, you said, okay, we can just plug them in. They're gonna throw for 40 touchdowns a year because they have that pedigree. They're not quite those guys, so we have to adjust. Doesn't mean you can't win with these guys, and doesn't mean they can't win big, because it's not like they're going to throw for 175 yards a week and you're just asking them not turn the ball over. No, once in a while, hey, throw for 300, 350 and win a game for us. You know, we can win a game with a really good defense and a good running game. We'll have weapons around you, but just, you know, hey, once every few, we're going to need you to do it. And that's what Baker Mayfield's done, and that's really what Jared Goff has done. And you've seen those teams, the Rams and the Browns, still alive in the playoffs, and they're going to be yearly playoff threats. do well because they've adjusted their teams accordingly. If the Jets decide, hey, this is what we want out of our quarterback and Garoppolo's going to be that guy, yes, he can be that guy. He's not the world beater. He's not going to suddenly beat teams all by himself like he's Brady or he's Russell Wilson. No, but can he be effective and is he young enough and can he win? Sure. So if that's the situation and Devontae Smith shows up at number two, yeah, sign me up for
Look
that. I'm okay. I was so depressed at the beginning of the show because Urban Meyer is going to have Trevor Lawrence and all this stuff. Now, hey, all I needed was big news. Robert Saleh is here. I'm thinking Garoppolo. I'm thinking Devontae Smith. And now suddenly I'm happy again.
Look at you. You got all fired up. And you have a pair of guys in Douglas and Robert Saleh that will be the undisputed tag team champions of the world. You want to talk about two guys walking into the room that, you know, will start calling guys pencil necks and stuff like Freddie Blassie used to. I mean, those are the two guys that can go in and do it. Come out in their singlets like they're in the 80s WWE. And I'll break it. How we're going down to Miami and we're going to hurt people. No, it's a fun time. And I'm curious, you know, that's the big move. All right. Do you trade Sam? Is he going to end up a Pittsburgh Steeler before it's all said and done?
Oh, we got more draft picks coming in, Mike. Oh, this is gold. Look at this.
You.
We're back.
You're so giddy.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, our Best Of podcast, if you miss it, it goes up right after our show every single night. iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can listen, subscribe, rate us. We'll love you forever. Coming up next, more on these big stories and another big one out of the NBA. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Greetings. Welcome inside the second hour of The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the Robert Saleh Studios. Oh, as now boy. Things starting to move fast in the National Football League. Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to go out to Jacksonville and get the latest on Urban Meyer, new head coach of the Jaguars. That was the big news of the day. The big news of the night, Robert Saleh off the market. The New York Jets have hired the Niners defensive coordinator to be their new head coach. He is bringing Mike LaFleur, passing game coordinator, with him as offensive coordinator. We talked a few minutes ago about Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, you can connect the dots all you want, but if you're bringing a coach who's got a certain system that a quarterback was pretty good in, I'm expecting Jimmy Garoppolo to be in the mix. And now if it's not Sam Darnold, Garoppolo to be the next quarterback of the New York Jets. And if it's Garoppolo and we're drafting Devontae Smith and suddenly we're signing a couple other guys because we got like $80 million, hey, maybe we're in the Super Bowl next year. You know, the Jaguars are going to need a couple years. You know, they'll get used to things with Lawrence and stuff. They're going to be like in 4 years. We could be there next year, Mike. We could go from 2-14 to the Super Bowl.
Well, we just need Jimmy Garoppolo to stay healthy and get back to performance so we can talk about Jimmy more frequently than we have in recent memory because, I mean, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it has been.
He's been a Jag for a while now.
The Jimmy drops have kind of been my favorites because Tyshirt just always cycles through them. You know, we get the Jimmy, and then we get the Jimmy, and then
Jimmy,
and then Jimmy. Yeah, we get that. So Tyshirt's got to find a way to get them all back now. So listen, these are both great hires, right? Urban Meyer is a great hire. The Jets and the Jaguars, because you want to talk about what the big fits are, what the good fits are. These are two of the best jobs that are out there because, and the Chargers is the other one, right? What are the three best jobs out there? It's Jaguars, Jets, Chargers. Why? Jaguars comes with everything you need. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Trevor Lawrence, number one. You already have good offensive and defensive young talent on that team. And you have all kinds of money to spend. Urban Meyer is going to have the Jaguars in the Super Bowl in the next 4 years. I mean, they're going to be there. They have everything going for them. The Jets is a great job because you have all kinds of money to spend. You have the number two overall pick in the draft. It's not quite as good as the Jaguars, but it's still a really, really good opening. And now for the Chargers, of course, it comes with an offense. It's ready to go. It's like, here, here's the keys. What is this? This is a great sports car. Just take it around and, you know, do your own thing and drive it. The Chargers is a great job because it comes ready to go. But the fact that here is Urban Meyer, who was really ticketed to the Jaguars and nobody else. We mentioned this last night on the show, and maybe this is the Jets listening to me, and that'd be great if they are, man. Oh, my goodness. Is that we told you how slow the head coaching market was going in the NFL and that nobody's really been hired yet. And I don't understand why, because even though it's COVID, it's 2021, you're having people interview first via Zoom, then you're bringing them in person. It's difficult to travel. Robert Saleh has been available for 10 or 12 days, and he's the one guy everybody wants. How is he not hired by now? Same thing. Arthur Smith has had time off. Eric Bieniemy had time, had a week to make interviews before you had to make a decision. The market's moving really, really slow, and we told you that it's got to move. It's got to get bigger, and someone's got to do something, because if you want to wait and say, well, there's these eight guys we like, well, guess what? You're going to lose out on the top three or four of them. You know, if there's four or five good offensive coordinators you want to talk to, we got to talk to Joe Brady. We got to talk. You talk to too many guys, you're going to lose those first couple of guys, right? So Urban Meyer to the Jaguars, Robert Saleh, who was the number one 1A guy at worst this coaching cycle, right? Saleh and Arthur Smith were the two guys everybody wanted. Saleh's gone. If Arthur Smith is still unhired in 24 hours, I will be stunned, Mike Harmon, because now the coaching carousel just started moving like that, and decisions are going to be made fast and need to be made quickly and decisively. He's already had a couple of interviews. You are going to have to say, all right, it's not a perfect situation right now. We kind of have to go with our gut, or we're going to be stuck making the best out of, here's maybe a choice number 5 and 6 we had for our head coach. We got to hire one of these guys. The Jaguars were decisive. The Jets were decisive right after we mentioned it last night. And now you're going to see other teams have to do it that way, because the best teams, the best decisions were made by the two teams with the best openings. You had the Jaguars, you had the Jets, and now they both got their guys.
Yeah, those were the three teams, including the Chargers, where everything was set up. You know, the only thing that concerned me in Jacksonville, and I'll mention it again, was that report that talked about Shotgun picking being hands-on with the roster. Well, how the hell is that any different than Jerry Jones, except for the color of the logo on the side of the helmet, right? I mean, it becomes the same thing. And I don't get the benefit of playing in Dallas or coaching in Dallas and all of those things. So that was the only part of it that struck me. But if you want to go and hand over a big check, that means you're also probably going to be willing to give up some of that power. And so now the wheel starts to spin a little faster. Now, the one guy in all of this process that you wonder what it becomes for him is Eric Bieniemy, because he can't interview anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you were undecided and you left and said, hey, we'll talk again, well, that doesn't happen unless the Browns beat him. Maybe they do. Or they go on and, well, they play the following week or win the Super Bowl or lose the Super Bowl, whatever. But you don't want to wait that long, right? That's another 3-4 weeks in your off season to start putting plans in place. Sure, you can't have everybody in the building right now, but the idea that you can at least start the process of reviewing college tape and potential free agents and start working and finessing your salary cap restrictions, and because a couple of these places, it's not pretty, right? That's the other part of trying to hire. Wait, I have restrictions here, and here. Like trying to sell the Houston job, especially if Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be there.
That's tough,
right?
That's really tough.
I mean, we have no money. We're locked into J.J. Watt, who is good a couple plays a game where he really makes an impact. I'm not saying he's done, but for what he's getting paid per year relative to your salary cap, and again, it's not my money, but it does affect how you get to spend elsewhere, it becomes a pretty big deal. And the guy that gets hired, you know, first order of business is, all right, have we figured out whether Deshaun wants a beer or not? So take that out of the mix. I've said all along, the turnkey operation in all of this was the Chargers. And they went 7-9. But for a couple of decisions down the stretch in a number of games, this is a playoff team, right? Yeah. You've got talent, and you were missing a couple of key components, you know, to injury. Not that everybody wasn't affected, but, you know, you got to figure out how to make Derwin James not the next Bob Sanders. Look it up, people. That's football knowledge right
there. Look at you, Bob Sanders. Nice.
Yeah, you know, go Hawkeyes. But also just a guy who was fantastic when he was available to the Colts during those years. But for the Jaguars, I mean, you get to go in with all those draft picks and a giant pile of money and the cachet of saying, look, I win everywhere. Just follow me. Come with me if you want to live. It's a beautiful thing. And then with Robert Saleh, I mean, you know, you got the clips from Richard Sherman and all these other guys. I mean, they're walking testimonials of what he is in terms of being a leader. And for the Jets, again, as long as ownership's gets the hell out of the way, Douglas and he could be quite formidable there in the AFC East.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why when you look at the needs of a team, you can kind of play matchmaker with their coach and be right most of the time, right? Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Robert Saleh Studios. All right, so we talked about the openings that are out there, right? There's the good openings, there's the bad openings. And look, clearly the top three are the teams I mentioned. Now, forget about the Jaguars for a second. Forget about hiring Urban Meyer. What did the Jaguars need coming in? They're coming off of Doug Marrone, and what do they have? They have money. They have Trevor Lawrence coming in. They have a guy who's a college football legend coming in, and you need someone who's going to have to relate to them and have the cachet to come in and be kind of a CEO-type head coach who's going to be in charge of the entire program, smart enough to know, well, I got to hire good OCs and DCs to really help me out here. Is that a place for a first-time offensive coordinator head coach with Trevor Lawrence? No, it's not. That's not a place for Jacksonville. Is this way, hey, we're going to bring in a great defensive coordinator and play great defense and then, hey, we'll fit? No. You need a head coach who's going to be Trevor Lawrence friendly but has the ability to lead an entire organization. And it doesn't matter that he hasn't done it in the NFL. Urban Meyer's done it everywhere he's been in college football. So when you're playing matchmaker, if I say who fits those bills, it's Urban Meyer. Boom. Where's Urban Meyer? Jacksonville Jaguars. What do the New York Jets need? They need someone who's going to stand up and grab the organization by the lapels and shake them and say, we need to do things better and do it right. There's apathy. The fan base is not fired up, and we have a bad roster, and I'm going to make sure that we are doing everything right so we can get ready to go. Is Arthur Smith that guy, an untested offensive coordinator? I mean, maybe, but I'm not really sure. Oh, Robert Saleh, he's absolutely that guy. That's what the Jets did. They've needed that since Rex Ryan was fired. I told you how good Rex worked in the beginning. There's a lot of similarities between Rex and Robert Saleh. So then suddenly you hit the reveal card on that. Hey, what's the best thing to do? Ta-da! Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator for the Niners. He's your Jets head coach. He's going to do those things. So now keep going down the row, right? For the Chargers, what do they need? They have a great offense, boy, and it really looks like it's rolling. You could go one way and say, let's hire a defensive coordinator to come in and really amp up the defense a little bit, because the Chargers defense is kind of middle of the pack. You jump it up to a top 10 unit,
they were a
you're
top
working.
10 D.
Yeah, but you still want to take care of the offense. So, boy, it's really important that Justin Herbert continues to progress. So this is where you go and you hire a guy like Arthur Smith. Here's somebody he knows everything about. He got Ryan Tannehill playing well. He turned that Titans offense into, hey, we're going to score 13 points a game, to, wow, they're scoring 30 and 35 and 40 points, and they're doing it easy. He's done great work with quarterbacks, great work with running backs. Who are the most important players on the Chargers offense? Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler. Hey, this is the right guy. So when you play matchmaker, you can see that, hey, this is where I got to go. This is it. And you can see the names kind of reveal themselves in it. And so far, it's been exactly what you'd expect it to be. And you mentioned the Texans, boy, that's going to be a really tough sell. That's a really tough sell, because that's going to be someone who, that's going to be the job where there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL, and this is one of them. This is where a guy like Joe Brady gets the gig. Is he ready? He's 31. I don't know. But somebody's got to take this job. And you don't know if you have Deshaun Watson. You have no money to spend. And you have no draft picks. So it doesn't really look that good. It's like the end of Harry Potter when Harry tells Dumbledore, Voldemort's in power. I've got nothing to fight him with. He's attacking Hogwarts. Yeah, you're in a spot, Harry. I mean, that's who's going to wind up getting the job there with the Houston Texans. So When you understand the different needs of each team, it certainly becomes much more easy to go, this is the right guy, this is the right fit. And that's why I'm excited about Robert Saleh. Would I have been excited about Arthur Smith? Yeah, okay, well, maybe he can turn. But who's the quarterback going to be? Can he really run a whole thing? Robert Saleh, I have no question about. When you hear players saying all glowing things about him, Richard Sherman is lobbying to join the Jets next, because he's the guy loudest on Twitter going, what a great job, congratulations, coach, he's great. He's great. You got the right guy. When you have brought that sense of renewed enthusiasm to the organization, you got the right guy. Jets got Robert Saleh, right guy. Jaguars got Urban Meyer, right guy. 2 years ago when the Jets hired Adam Gase, what did I say? Oh, what are we doing? What, really? The guy just got fired from the Dolphins and the players hated him. Why are we suddenly have to hire Adam Gase? And I was not excited. And it was, I just had to sit around for 2 years waiting for something else to happen and change. So you can tell pretty easy when the guy you hire is the right fit and he's the guy. And then you see what the results are going to be and when they're not. And you're seeing it this year.
Yeah, I'm really curious as to what flows for these last five jobs, right? I mean, the Chargers, turnkey. Detroit and Atlanta, you got two aging quarterbacks. Stafford indicates he wants to come back. Philadelphia, well, now we hear from Troy Aikman that Lurie wanted Wentz because he paid him, and Peterson wanted to run Jalen Hurts. That might be behind the schism and what ended up philosophically shattering. You know what? They have no money. Zero. Zero and no flexibility at all right now in terms of reforming that team. So good luck. And then we already talked about Houston. So yeah, the two teams with flexibility, with cash, and with a desire strongly to change a culture, they acted relatively swiftly in this offseason. So congratulations to them. They can go to work while everybody else schedules another 15 Zoom calls.